This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode about close contact between humans and wildlife. Diseases that are transmitted from animals to humans have gotten more attention in the wake of COVID-19. One of them is Chagas. It's caused by a parasite transmitted by kissing bugs. Now, kissing bugs are probably lesser-known blood-sucking insects in this country, but they are predominant in many parts of Latin America, and their reach may be spreading. Sam Schramsky reports from New Mexico.
Emily Pollum is a biologist fascinated by living things, and it shows as she gives me a tour around her property in rural southwestern New Mexico. She points out the little details about the local flora and fauna, lost on most of us, before she starts to clean up a midden, a nest built by wood rats.
They're relentless, pack rats are, and they love pallets.
These rodents, about the size of a city rat, live all over the Southwest. Their handiwork, the middens, are piles of debris you might find under your car hood. And yes, they can get in there. Or in your backyard, or in Emily's case, under wooden pallets near her front door. But Emily isn't really concerned about the messy nest. What she's worried about is kissing bugs. They ravenously feed off of these pack rats and reproduce ever more offspring shortly afterwards.
And I'm not initially seeing any kissing bugs right now, but it is pretty cold out.
Kissing, cone nose, or vampire bugs, triadamines to be scientific, are a group of 130 different species of insects. If you live in the Southwest or the South, you're probably familiar with them. They look like beetles with long snouts, and they're bloodsuckers. But unlike mosquitoes or ticks or even biting flies, you usually don't even know if you've been bitten by them unless you're allergic to their saliva. Their bite is itself painless. The problem with these kissing bugs is that they can carry a parasite known as Trypanosoma cruzi, T. cruzi for short, which can cause Chagas disease.
It's very, very tricky parasite. It's very complex parasite.
That's Rosa Maldonado, professor of microbiology at the University of Texas, El Paso.
Trypanosoma cruzi is a parasite. You can live with this disease 10, 20, 30 years before you know that you are sick.
Chagas, the disease Rosa is referring to, can lead to heart failure, damage to the esophagus and gastrointestinal tract, even death in about 20 to 30% of those who contract it. A few years ago, the World Health Organization estimated that between 8 to 10 million people worldwide suffer from Chagas, mostly in Latin America, and particularly in Bolivia and elsewhere in South America. Here in the U.S., estimates have the numbers as high as 300,000 people being infected with the T. cruzi parasite, although most experts believe that the majority of these cases were contracted abroad, outside of the U.S. That said, all of these human infections came from blood-sucking kissing bugs.
Kissing bug is not a very efficient vector of Chagas disease. They have to feed on you. They have to defecate.
Jane Pierce is an entomologist at New Mexico State University who studies kissing bugs. She says the parasite passes through the insect's fecal matter, its poop, before then entering its human host through a bite. In Latin America, food and drink contaminated with the bug's feces is a major mode of transmission as well.
Which means you scratch on the wound, or it means you go into your nostril, you rub your eye, you put it in your mouth. It's not efficient at all. It's really a lousy vector. It's just a lousy vector, it really is.
The estimated number of locally acquired Chagas cases in people in the U.S. is low, likely 10,000 or less. Although all such estimates are very rough. But the disease is passing on to other warm-blooded creatures here, as Jane points out.
And dogs are at quite high risk.
Recent studies of dogs in Texas are sobering. In big kennels with several dogs, up to half of the pooches have been found to carry the parasite. This doesn't mean that all of these dogs have Chagas disease by any means, but many do. And scientists are increasingly documenting cases where dogs die from the disease after becoming infected. Last month, I visited microbiologist Rosa Maldonado in her lab at the University of Texas, El Paso. There, she's monitoring the prevalence of T. cruzi in kissing bugs in other animals. I also visited some of the sites in Texas and New Mexico where she collected blood samples. I'm here in rural Anthony, New Mexico, right on the border of New Mexico and Texas. Here in other places, Dr. Maldonado and her colleagues collected kissing bugs and blood samples from animals and found that most of the bugs were infected with the parasite T. cruzi. They also identified blood samples from those T. cruzi positive bugs and found that indeed pack rats, dogs, and yes, humans, had been fed upon at some point in their life cycle. To be clear, it's not that Chagas disease is the next major epidemic in the U.S., certainly not on the order of COVID-19. But researchers also don't really know the magnitude of the threat. There's also very little understanding of just how many people who have immigrated from parts of Latin America, where Chagas is prevalent, are living with the disease and just aren't being screened.
And so I feel like oftentimes the people that are mostly exposed or mostly affected are coming from places where they don't have access to medical care.
That's Paula Granado-Stigler, an associate professor of environmental health at San Diego State University and longtime Chagas researcher.
Probably not going to get screened or diagnosed. And so I think that there's going to be a lot of missed diagnoses, or it's very underdiagnosed disease here in the United States. And the disease is a bit complicated in that you can be infected with the disease or the parasite, have no symptoms, and live your entire life completely symptom-free.
The disease is indeed complicated. Not everyone who carries the parasite contracts Chagas disease, and not everyone who has Chagas will have the most troubling symptoms like heart failure. But 60 to 70% of people may be in an indeterminate phase where they don't develop severe symptoms right away. It could take 20 to 25 years for this to happen. After this latent period, the damage has been done, as in potentially the need for a heart transplant or having to live with a severely damaged colon, and of course, the possibility of death.
At that point, if you're presenting with the disease and symptoms, it's a little too late for treatment potentially. So do we have the resources to screen everybody? No. Is it so prevalent that we should be screening everybody? No. But definitely targeting places where we think there's a higher risk, yes.
It speaks to the social determinants of health that your race, ethnicity, class, gender identity, or immigration status may determine the type of health outcome you receive. Because the burden of disease is overwhelmingly felt by Latino and low-income populations, many public health experts aren't so concerned about massive new transmission in the U.S. Rather, they often seem as much concerned about the people who could already have the disease, including mothers who may pass T. cruzi on to their children congenitally. And it's not only that monitoring and testing for Chagas are rudimentary compared to much better-known diseases in the U.S., it's also that the drugs used to treat acute Chagas come with serious side effects. Some states, like my native New Mexico, don't even list Chagas as a reportable disease. And all of this often assumes a patient has access to the healthcare system, a bit of a stretch for many living in poverty or immigrants who are undocumented.
We have a policy of containment.
Desi Hernandez is an English professor and author of the nonfiction book, The Kissing Bug, which explores how underserved populations fall through the cracks when they have a disease like Chagas.
And once a disease is contained to a marginalized or vulnerable group, we are pretty satisfied as a whole, publicly.
We may never know for sure how big a threat Chagas is for hundreds of thousands of people in the U.S., even if we very well do know how big it is in Latin America. But kissing bugs that crawl among us here are vectors for the parasite, as animals like dogs and pack rats make very clear. We also know that kissing bug bites can cause serious allergic reactions, up to anaphylaxis, which alone is a reason to control their infestations around our homes. Emily Pollum, the biologist who is always scanning her property in rural New Mexico for kissing bugs, knows this all too well. Her partner, John Gorey, himself a biologist, is a perfect example.
I didn't know what was going to happen with me after the bite because I was feeling really hot. I was starting to actually get hives and my entire body started to itch, and I didn't have any breathing difficulties, but it seemed like that was the next step.
And Emily and John are working to increase awareness of kissing bugs.
The way that I feel about the risk of Chagas in my own life with the kissing bugs that are around my own home is that it's important for me to be aware and develop measures for being cautious, but I don't feel afraid all of the time. Fear that we have is much more having to do with the allergy than from the risk of Chagas.
And a whole host of hardworking scientists, doctors, activists, and even writers are doing the same about the larger threat of Chagas. It could well be through their efforts that many will have less fear of a painless nibble in the middle of the night.
That story was reported by Sam Schramsky.